Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah in the middle of Ayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ha'arel, v'chol ha'tmeim lo yochlu b'truma. An arel, someone who does not have a brit milah, v'chol ha'tmeim, and someone that is tamei, may not eat truma. Now, as far as the tmeim are concerned, that we have explicitly from a pasuk in Parshat Emor, which says, Ish ish mizeron v'hu tzarua ozav b'kodoshim lo yochal ad asher yidhar. So there the psukim clearly indicate that someone who's tomei may not participate in the kodoshim. The Gemara, Darshins, and other places that those kodoshim that are mentioned there is referencing to truma, and therefore here we have a exclusion of anybody who's tamei from eating truma. Now, with regards to an arel, the Gemara will have a discussion, machloket tanaim, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, as how do we learn out that an arel is precluded from truma. The real question here is, what arel are we speaking about? It's clearly not talking about a non-Jew. We're clearly talking about a Jewish kohen. The question is, why is he an arel? So Rashi says he's an arel, shemetu achav machmat milah, that his brothers passed away because they had a milah. Therefore, he can't get a milah because it's a sakanat nefashot. Since it's a sakanat nefashot, he remains an arel with the permission of the Torah, but he still is precluded from consuming truma. Tosafot quotes this sheet of Rashi and says, v'chenira. And he says that he agrees with that position of Rashi, and he bases it on the Gemara that we're going to see tomorrow, that the Gemara never says about this Arel, that he is not classified as being an Arel because he can't do a Milah. The Gemara seems to indicate, or doesn't even think about the possibility that he is not an Arel just because he can't do a Milah, even though it's an Ones, even though it's not because of him, and it's not in his control. Nevertheless, he's still classified as an Arel. And Tosafot says that the Yerushalmi also seems to suggest this and support this. On the other hand, the Tosafot Yishanim quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam, who suggests otherwise, and says that over here you can't call him an Arel because he's anus. He's completely out of his hands, out of his control. It's a kanat nefashot. You can't call him an Arel. And the Arel that we must be speaking about over here is Lechem Peresh Rabbeinu Tam, Darel, Vetzonu Lomar Mishumad La'arelot. This is someone that refuses to get a milah. This is someone of his own volition that chooses not to get a milah, and that's why he is classified as an arel. Now, nisheim v'avdehem yochlu b'truma, the wives of these individuals, as well as their servants, can eat truma. The servants, because they are kinyan kaspo. The wives, because these individuals are not precluded from truma because there is something that can't be rectified here. If it's an arel, then the milah can be rectified. There's no isur in this woman marrying this kohen. And therefore, if they get married, it's considered to be a good marriage, and kinya kaspo and his wife can eat truma. Same thing with a tamei. Tamei is only a temporary state. It doesn't disqualify his wife from eating truma or becoming kinyan kaspo, because there's no restriction against them getting married. Tzuadaka v'krut shofcha. These two individuals were mentioned in the Torah. Hein v'avdehem yochlu, unishem lo yochlu. Those individuals can partake in truma kohanim that have this psul in them, which we'll discuss in 1 second what that is. They are permitted to eat truma, and so are their avadim. Their servants are allowed to eat truma because they are kinyan kaspo. On the other hand, neshehem lo yochlu. Their wives cannot eat truma. Now Rashi says, why is that? Because they are restricted from joining the gahal. They're brought in the same parshia as mamzer. And these are individuals who are not supposed to join the Kal Hashem. They are restricted individuals and may not marry a woman. If they do marry the woman, Rashi says that you turn that woman into a chlala. Because it's a bi'asura, you turn the woman into a chlala, she cannot partake in truma. So that's why they're disqualified over here. Many Rishonim ask, well, don't we have a requirement that we saw in last parak, that the only person that can disqualify is someone who's a zaretzla, someone who's a foreigner to her. Over here, this man is her husband. So why does he disqualify her when he has a bi'ah, even if the bi'ah is a bi'ah psula? As we're going to see in the Gemara, this is even an instance when they are already married and he turns into a psuadaka or a krut shafcha. Nevertheless, he's posel the woman. So the Tosfot Yishanim over here answers and says, V'yesh lamar, kevan dishtane gufo, since his body changed, chashiv gmo zar mi'igara, it's as if he becomes a foreigner to who? It's as if he's a totally new individual. And therefore, he is classified as a zar. There are other Rishonim who suggest over here the din of Zar only applies by Psulei Kuhuna. When the Psul is because of something wrong with a Kohen, for instance, a Kohen with a Grusha or a Kohen Gadol with an Almanah, then Zar Miyikara is relevant. But if the Psul is an external Psul from something that is Asur Bekehal, like here by Psul Daga and Krut Shofcha, over there you don't have this requirement of her not being a Zar, even if she is his wife. It's still a problematic marriage, and it will be posel the woman. You don't have that requirement of zar. And then the Mishnah says and qualifies that statement, v'im lo yida'a mishnasa p'tzua daga krut shafcha, if he's already married to the woman, and he does not have with bi'a with her after that point in time that he has now become problematic or disqualified, harei lo yochlu, then the wives can continue to eat truma from that point forward, because they were eating truma until this point, and they now have not had a bi'a or a bi'a psula that would change that status. And since they retained that status of being re'uyim litruma, they can continue to eat truma unless they have bi'a. Now, if they got married and the man was already a psula kakrut shafcha, there we do not say that they can eat unless there's bi'a, because the fact that they had kiddushin is kiddushin ha'mei bi'a lidei bi'a psula. These are kiddushin that are all premised on a consummation of a marriage with a bi'a psula, and that already makes her psula from the beginning, and she may not partake in the truma. It's only if they were previously married, consummated the marriage while he was still kasher, and then the problem p'tua daka grut shavcha came up, then that would disqualify her if he has bi'a, but if he doesn't have bi'a, she continues to eat truma. The mission now says, v'ezezu p'tua daka. What is a p'tua daka? That's anyone whose testicles have been crushed, and that means even if one of the testicles has been crushed, and it prevents him from reproducing or procreating. The Gemara later on will discuss exactly how he became a Ptua Daka, and there might be a difference of whether it happens by the hand of man, or whether it happens because of natural causes. Ukrot Shavcha, what is that? Kosh Nichrata Gid. That's anyone whose member has been severed. V'im nishtayer me'atara. If there's any part of the crown that is left, afilu kechuta sara, even a hair's breadth, kasher, he remains kasher. The atara is the place where the brit milah is done, but the technical place or location is the part of the member that begins to descend towards the tip. So as soon as it begins to descend, that's called the atara. So as long as there's a portion of that atara left, then he's not classified as a krot shofcha, because it does not affect his ability, because it doesn't cut the piping that goes through, and that part is only considered to be basar, and so therefore he still remains kasher because of that. Only if he cuts beyond that point towards the body will it make him into a krot shofcha, and again, it has to be that it prevents him from procreating or reproducing. Tanya, the Gemara here wants to know, how do you know that an arel is restricted in truma? So now we have Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, minayin arel shein ochel b'truma. How do we know that an arel may not partake in truma? Nemar toshav esachir b'pesach. The pasuk by Gurman Pesach in Parshat Bo, Perek Yud Bet says, toshav esachir lo yochal bo. A toshav esachir may not partake in the korban ha-pesach. It also says there, v'chol arel lo yochal bo. Any arel, someone who doesn't have a brit milah, may not partake in the Korban HaPesach. And here in Parshat Emor, in Perek Chav Bet, it says with regards to Truma, V'chol Zar lo yochal kodesh, Toshav Kohen, V'sachir lo yochal kodesh. So the Toshava and the Sachir of the Kohen may not partake in the Kodesh, Kodesh here being Truma. Nebuchadnezzar says that's a Gzer Shava, Toshav Zachir by Truma, Toshav Zachir that's mentioned by Pesach. Just like by Pesach, the Toshav Zachir, also over there it says, Chol Arel Yochlo Chol Bo, any Arel may not partake, so too by Truma, just like Toshav Zachir is restricted, so too Arel will be restricted. And that's what he says here, Nemar Toshav Zachir B'Pesach, V'Nemar Toshav Zachir B'Truma, Ma Toshav Zachir Amur B'Pesach Arel Asur Bo, Af Toshav Zachir Amur B'Truma Arel Asur Bo. So that's the limud of Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Enu Tzarich, you don't need this, Harehu Omer, the Pasuk there says by Truma, we quoted it before, Ish Ish Mizer Aron, and that continues on to talk about Truma. And he says Ish Ish the Rabot Ha'arel. Ish Ish comes to include an Arel, and we'll discuss Rabbi Akiva's Shita more in detail in tomorrow's daf and the day after. But here is the source for Rabbi Akiva's Shita throughout Shas, which is that Rabbi Akiva equates an Arel with someone who is Tamei. Now, it's not a complete equivalence, but at least he puts them in the same category, and therefore an Arel is classified like a Tamei, and since he's classified like a Tamei, he therefore cannot partake in Truma because he is like Tamei. So Amar, now the Gemara goes back to investigate this Braita and what Rabbi Eliezer said. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Toshav Zachir B'Pesach, Nemar Toshav Zachir B'Truma. Ma Toshav Zachir Amor B'Pesach, Arel Asurbo, Af Toshav Zachir Amor B'Truma, Arel Asurbo, Mufne. The Gemara says that you must have that these words are extraneous. Dilab Mufne. If the words here are not extraneous, Igal Mifrach, then you can undermine this Gezer Shava. Now, even though Gezer Shava is not a logical argument, because it's a comparison of similar words in two psukim, and it says we have a limud, plus you need a mesorah for Gezer Shava, halacha l'moshe misinai. Nevertheless, one of the tests for Gezer Shava is, does it stand up to a logical test? If we know for certain that Gezer Shava is halacha l'moshe misinai, it doesn't matter. But there are many times in the Gemara is uncertain as to the Gezer Shava or searching a source and thinks this is Gezer Shava. And the Rishonim have different approaches as to exactly what that means in the context of Gzer Shava, but one of the ways to test whether Gzer Shava works is to see whether it stands up against a logical argument. If the logical argument would unwind it, then you can't use that Gzer Shava, Elim Kain, unless it has Mufneh. The words are extraneous. By the words being extraneous, it shows you that these words are available for the Gzer Shava, and then it can defy logic. How much has to be Mufneh is a question we're going to see in the Gemara now. It's a Machloket Tanaim. But there is one dayah that you need mufneh mitzad echad. That means that only one of the two limudim has to be extraneous. And then you can no longer ask a logical argument against it. Whereas there are other tanaim who believe that you need mufneh mishnei tzadim. It has to be extraneous on both ends. Since it's extraneous on both ends, then you can't bring in mishivin. You can't bring a logical argument against it. What the Gemara here says is that it must be that one of these sides is mufneh, is extraneous, because otherwise, ikal mifrach, there's a logical undermining of this gezer shava. Because by Gorman of Pesach, you're chayav for pigul, notar, and tamei. As Rashi says over here, you're chayav a kurban chatat for all of these cases, pigul, notar, and tamei, because if you did them b'mezid, you'd be chayav karet. Therefore, you do them b'shogeg, you're chayav a chatat. By truma, there is no such thing as pigul and notar. Tamei does exist by truma and Tosafot S, then maybe the girsa should be here without tamei, and there were girsaot that dropped the word tamei. On the other hand, Tosafot defends the Girsa of Tamei and says it's based on what Rashi says. A Tamei that eats Truma is not Chayav Karet and does not bring a Korban. Yes, he might be Chayav Mita Bidei Shemayim, but that's not Karet. So that's what the Chumra of Pesach is, that it's Tamei and your Chayav Karet and your Chayav Bishogeg a Korban Chatat. So you can still keep the word Tamei and differentiate it from Truma. But given that, you can't make a logical argument that extends or extrapolates a din from Pesach to Truma, because Pesach has Chumrot associated with it. Mar says, aye, you're absolutely right. Afnuye mufne, it is extraneous. So Mar says, hey, mufne, which one is extraneous? Which toshav zachir is extraneous here? Either truma. If you tell me the one by truma is extraneous, mishrach tzriche, there we need it. Because the tanya, now we're going to explain what a toshav and zachir are. Toshav zekunui kinyan olam. This is someone who has a permanent state. This is an eved ivri who's going to stay with his master forever. Forever by an eved ivri means until the yovel. He stayed for his 6 years, and then he decided he wanted to stay on, so he's nirtzah, pierced his ear with his adon, and now he remains with him until the yovel. Sachir zekhanui kinyan shanim. A sachir is someone who is a regular eved ivri, who's there for the normal 6 years. Vayomar toshav, vayomar sachir. Well, if you just told me about a toshav and not a sachir, vaniomer, kanui kinyan olam eno ochel. Someone who has full ownership, meaning that an adon who owns this eved until the yovel, he's not allowed to partake in truma. Wouldn't have I certainly known then that an eved ivri who's only there for the 6 years, then he certainly should not be able to partake in truma, because if someone who's there for a much longer duration is not considered to be kinyan kaspo of the kohen, then certainly somebody there for a short duration is not kinyan kaspo of the kohen. I says, ilukain, ayitomer toshav zeh kanui kinyan shanim. That's because the only reason I say toshav refers to a kinyan olam and a sachir refers to a kinyan shanim is because I have two words. Had I only had one word there, then I would have said that it refers to a kinyan shanim, because that's the lesser of the chidushim. I would have said if I only had one word there, you know who's precluded from truma? That's an eved ivri who's only there for a limited time. But an Eved Ivri is there the olam until the Yovel. He can't eat in the Truma. Aval kanoi kinyan olam ochel. So basachir, vilimeda toshav, sh'afal pishi kanoi kinyan olam, in ochel. So that's why I need both words. I have the sachir to reflect on toshav. Sachir tells me that a Eved Ivri of a limited duration does not eat Truma. But that also tells me that the word toshav is referencing a kinyan olam. It's talking about an Eved Ivri who's there until the Yovel. And now both of them are not allowed to partake in the Truma. But I need both words there. Neither of them are extraneous, because without both words, I wouldn't have known about an Eved Ivri that's there until the Yovel. Because if you had one word, I just would have precluded an Eved Ivri that's there for the shorter duration, not the one who's Kinyan Olam. But now that I have both words, I'm excluding both of them, and that's why I need them. Although the Pesach Mufne, it must be that the Toshav Zachir that's found by Pesach is extraneous. Hai Toshav Zachir Dichtov Rachman of Pesach, my Nihu. Who are these Toshav Zachir that's written by Pesach? If you say, Inema Toshav Zachir Mamash, like we just described in Truma here, it's about an Eved Ivri, who is either there for a temporary duration or there until the Yovel. Mishum Davalei Toshav Zachir Iftar Lami Pesach? Just because the Eved Ivri is now working for this Adon, he should be exempted from Korban HaPesach? Vakayim Alon, we already established by Truma, Delo Achil, that a Toshav and Zachir do not partake in Truma, which means that they are not Kinyan Kaspo of the Adon. That means that they're not owned. Amalokani Le Rabbe. It's clear here that the Rav or the Adon does not own them. If he doesn't own them, then Hachanami Lokani Le Rabbe. So too by Korban HaPesach, if he doesn't own him, then it must be that the Toshav and Zachir are Chayav and Pesach. The only reason to say they might be exempt from Pesach is because they are owned by the Adon. They're owned by the Adon, their Gufo is Kanoi to the Adon. Then you could argue maybe they should be Patur from Pesach. We'll discuss that point in 1 second. But if you say by Truma, they're not considered to be Kinyan Kaspo, and that's why they can't eat Truma, then certainly they're Chayav in Korban HaPesach, because he's an Eved Ivri, and he's not owned by the master. That means he is a man of his own. If he's a man of his own, he's a Jewish man, he's Chayav in all the mitzvot, he's got to do a Korban HaPesach. So what's the question? So Toshav Zachir there is clearly extraneous. Now the alternative side here is not so clear, because the Gemara says, well, if he was owned, it sounds like he would be Patur. But even an Eved Knani, who's owned by his Adon, is Chayav in Korban HaPesach, because he's Chayav in mitzvot like women. And women are Chayavot in Korban HaPesach. That might be the answer as well, which is, there's a machlokin in the Gemara, in Psachim, in the 9th Perek, as to whether women are really obligated in Korban HaPesach, in the Pesach Rishon, or in Pesach Sheni. And so it could be, according to the Mandamar, that says Nashim are Pturot, and therefore Eved Knani would also be Patur. Or, it could be, that even according to one who says the Nashim are Chayavot, by an Eved Knani, the Eved Knani does not have independent minyan on a Korban HaPesach. He gets put on his Adon's, his master's Korban HaPesach. So he's not in control of his own destiny or his own Korban HaPesach. He partakes in a Korban HaPesach, but through his Adon. So that would be different than an Eved Ivri who does a Korban HaPesach on his own volition and takes care of it himself. He's got to buy his own piece. He's got to have his own minui on the Korban HaPesach, independent of his master. And that's the way that Tosafot answers the question over here, that true, by an Eved Knani, he would be Chayav, even though he's owned by his Adon, the same should be true by an Eved Ivri, but it's a different nature. Other Rishonim, like the Ramban, just suggest that the Gemara knew that the other side wasn't that he was Patur, me Korban HaPesach, but just so obvious that he's Chayav in Korban HaPesach because he's just not owned by the Adon. And therefore these words now are Elalaf Nuye, they must be extraneous. Tosfot over here asks, and then what do you do with the Pasuk? The Pasuk by Korban HaPesach says, Toshav Sakhir lo yochal bo. Toshav and Sakhir may not eat in the Korban HaPesach. What do you mean? A Toshav and Sakhir and Eved Ivri. So now you're telling me they're extraneous, and then why is the Pasuk telling Sheker? It's saying that a Toshav and Sakhir can't eat a Korban Pesach, it can't eat a Korban Pesach. So then why does it frame it in this way to be extraneous? So Tosfot in the end says that we can learn Toshav and Sakhir, and the Mechilta learns it this way, that a Toshav and Zachir are about an Ovid Kochavim. They're talking about non-Jewish slaves. And those non-Jewish slaves, lo yochalbo, they don't partake of it. Now that's also extraneous because we already know, b'chol arel lo yochalbo. Then arel may not partake of it. B'chol ben nechar lo yochalbo. That would already exclude a non-Jew. And therefore, Toshav and Zachir are extraneous even if you explain them about non-Jews. Now, Bagmara says, avakati muftim itzarecharu. That only frees up one side of the Gzeira Shava. Vishaminan le the Rabbi Eliezer, damar mufnem itzarechad le medim. If you have a Gzeira Shava that has extraneous words on one end, you can learn it. Umeshivim, but you're allowed to ask questions on it. You're allowed to ask logical questions that would undermine the Gzeira Shava. Over here, we know that the Korban Pesach is more chamor. We just stated that before, so it should undermine the Gzeira Shava. It says, came into the Gufei lo tzarich, since we don't need Toshav Zechir at all, Shadi Chad Alamed, V'Shadi Chad Amilamed. We'll put one of them on the side of the Limud, what we're learning, and one on the side from where we are teaching. And that means the Toshav Zechir over here will be extraneous. There are different ways to explain it. Tosvot says that, really, it's Toshav Zechir is extraneous by Pesach. But since I have two words, that it's Ki'ilu K'tiv Ha'cha Toshav Shelo Tzorech, V'Ha'cha Shechir Lo Tzorech. It's as if you wrote Toshav over here that's extraneous, and Zechir over here that is extraneous. V'af agav the Ha'cha Toshav Ha'cha Zechir. So even though the extraneous word in one place is Toshav, and the other place it's Zechir, nevertheless, we can make Gzeira Shova between them. The reason that is not so simple, what Tosfot is saying, is because we just said before that there's a Tzrichuta. We need both the Toshav and Zechir by Truma. So what in the end, some of the Rishonim explain is that, yes, we need Toshav and Zechir, but the fact that you have Toshav here and Zechir there will also teach us that same din, because now both words are used, and they're clearly telling us that it means something different in each place. So therefore, I have one extraneous word by Pesach and one extraneous word by Truma, and then I'll learn from one to the other. The other way to formulate it is that Toshav and Zechir are both extraneous by Pesach, but Gzeir Sheva works in passing information in two directions. It receives information and sends information. So therefore, Toshav and Zechir will be extraneous. One will be the recipient side of this, and one will be the giving side of the Gzeir Shava, and that's how you get it on both ends, because you have two words that are extraneous over here. But therefore, Wahavile Gzeir Shava Mufne Mishne Tzadim, and therefore we can learn both of them out. Now the Gemara says, okay, now we got this great Gzeir Shava, let us learn more Dinim from Korban Pesach over to Truma. Ima Pesach Onein Asur Bo, just like by Korban Pesach, an Onein, someone who has a niftar that passed away and has yet to be buried, they are asur in partaking in the Korban Pesach. Af truma onein asurba. Let us say by truma that an onein also cannot partake of truma. Now, how do you know that an onein is asur by Korban Pesach? That is a machlok rishonim. Rashi over here says it's a kal v'chomer mi maser. By maser sheni, it says lo acholti bi oni mimenu, that I didn't eat it while it was an onein. And maser sheni, which is quasi chulin, if there it's asur, then certainly by Kodashim, and that's the Kal B'chomer. Others suggest that it's actually because of a Gzeira Shava between Pesach and Masir Sheni, and that Gzeira Shava teaches us the din that Onein, that's asur by Masir Sheni, also is asur over here by Korban Pesach. So now, what do we know? We know Pesach's asur by Onein. Let's carry over that Isur to Truma, just like we did by Achol Arel Lo Yochal Bo. Just like you carry it over Arel from Pesach to Truma to say it's Asur, so too you should carry over Anein. Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanin, I'm Akra, the Pasuk says, Bechol Zar. So we just saw this just recently on Daf Samachon of Bet, when we were trying to learn on Ubat Ish Kohen Ki Tiyad Zar. We said over there, we need the word Zar for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanin as Din. The Gemara said, no, there we learned out Bechol Zar. Bechol Zar teaches you Zarut, Amarti Lechav, Lo Aninut. The only problem by Truma is a Zar, is a stranger, an outsider, but an Inut is not. So we have a specific Miut by Truma to say that an Inut is not included. Ema v'lo arelut. How do you know that Zarut comes to exclude an Inut? Let's say that the same way you say that it excludes an Inut, it could exclude arelut. Gemara says, Aktiv Toshav Zachir. Then you have the Gzeir Shava of Toshav Zachir. The Gemara says, Umaraita. How do you know which one to include and which one to exclude? The Gemara says, Mistavro arelut avile de ribuye. Makes sense to include Arelut through Toshav Zachir, Shekain. And here you have a Siman, Masim Krutim, Bedavar Eved. These are all words that are Simanim as to what the Gemara is going to say that is unique or special about Arelut, which is Mechusar Maseh. Number one, Arelut needs an action to rectify it. Number two is Maseh Begufo. It's a Chisaron in the body of the individual. He still has an Orla there. Vanush Karet. It involves a punishment of karet. Someone doesn't get a berit milah, is then chayav karet. It also, as Tosfos points out, has yiv gimel britot. There were 13 covenants said by Avraham Avinu about berit milah. V'yeshno lifnei dibur. In addition to that, berit milah applied before mamad har sinai. Umilat zechara v'avadav ma'akevet. In addition, milah, not only his milah, but the milah of his servants, of the Kanani, or the milah of his children, if they don't have a milah, he may not partake in the Korban HaPesach. So you see that Milo Arelut has these five chumrot that are associated with it. Where it says, Adraba, Aninut Avile de Ribuye. Aninut has chumrot associated with it as well. Shekein Yishno Bechol Sha'ah. It applies all the time. It means it applies during the day and at night. As opposed to Milah, which is only during the day. We're going to get to that in the Gemara upcoming as to whether that's the case, but whether Milah only applies during the day, but assuming it only applies during the day, and also assuming that an Inut applies also at night, that isn't so simple, because according to most, an Inut to Yom is Doraita, but an Inut to Lailo is only Dirabanan. Tosafot explains over here, but that might be only when the Onain was created during the day. But if someone has someone pass away at night, then an Inut to Lailo would be the same as an Inut to Yom, and would be Asur Midoraita. So you do have an Inut, both during the day and night, Midoraita. Venohege ben Hashim v'Nashim is equally applicable to men and women, unlike Milah, which is only applicable to men. By an inut, he's not in control of the situation. It happens to him, not by his own volition, it just happens to him. It suddenly happens to him. In addition to that, he can't fix it until they bury the mate, and that may not be in his control, and he may not even be permitted to do it. As opposed to milah, which is something that can be rectified, this somewhat supports that position of Rabbeinu Tam, that the arel that we're talking about here is someone who's mushumad arelut, and not someone who can't dare to milah because of ones. Because otherwise, then he doesn't in his control to do a milah, because he can't do it, because of sakanat tefoshot. You still could claim that it's in within his control, there's just a mitigating factor, and therefore it still is considered to be an arel, like Rashi explained over there. Where it says, hanach nefishan, here we have more. Quantitatively, there are 5 chumrot by arelut, and there are only 3 by aninut. So therefore, arelut trumps, and that's the thing that's going to be asur, and aninut is going to be mutar, they're going to be truma. Rav Amar, below hanach nefishan nami, lo matzit amart, even without this scale or measuring quantitatively which one is more, you could say this. Shavkin and Arilut, tichti bigufei de Pesach, veyovinin aninut mi Pesach, de Pesach gufei mi masir gamrinan. Wait a minute, what are you going to do? Look, Chol Arel or Yochol Bal is written explicitly by Pesach. The fact that an Onein is Asur by Pesach is a limud from Maisur Sheni, which we saw is either from Makav Chomer or Gzer Shava, but either way, it's borrowed or extrapolated from Maisur Sheni. So doesn't it make sense if you're going to now take something from Pesach and apply it to Truma, you would apply the thing that is written explicitly by Korban Pesach, which is Arelut. Kol Arel do Yochol Bo, that will apply to Truma. To say that Onein from Korban Pesach is Asur and then Arel is Mutar, that's almost backwards, because it's written that it's Asur by Pesach and you're going to say it's Mutar by Truma. Something that's not written by Pesach, Aninut, that's brought over, borrowed from Maser Sheni, you're going to say it's Asur by Truma. So he says it doesn't really make sense. So therefore, since Pesach has it explicitly written about Arel, that'll be the thing we make Asur by Truma from the Gzera Shava Toshav Sakhir, and the exclusion of Zar and not something will be Aninut, because Aninut is not written explicitly by Pesach, and therefore there makes more sense to exclude it. But it says, okay, let's try something else. Ima Pesach Milat Zechara V'Avadav Me'akevet. Just like by Pesach, the Milo of his Eved Gnani, or the Milo of his children, will stop him from eating the Pesach Af Truma. Say the same thing by Truma, Milat Zechara V'Avadav Me'akevet. Say the same thing over there, that it will be Ma'akev. Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Umalta Uto Az Yochol Bo. It says by the Korban of Pesach that Milah is Ma'akev, but Az Yochol Bo. Milah Zechar V'Avadav Ma'akev Bo, Milachol Pesach. From the word Bo, it's a miyut that says only by Korban of Pesach is this a problem. Milah Zechar V'Avadav Ma'akev Bit Truma. But when it comes to the Milah of Zechar V'Avadav by Truma, it will not be exclusionary because there's a miyut of Bo by the restriction in Korban HaPesach. Where it says, why don't you say the same thing about Arel? Arel has the word bo in it as well. It says, kol Arel lo yochal bo. Let us say, bo means, only the Pesach is Arel a problem, but Truma is not a problem. Haktiv toshav v'sachir. You have the Gzei Rishova. And the Gzei Rishova's got to bring some information over. If you don't have Arel being brought over, what are you bringing over? Umar Ra'ito. Where it says, well, how do you know which thing to bring over? How do you know which bo is a miut? And which bow we ignore because of Toshav Sakhir. How do you know whether it's the Mila of the Eved Gnani and the children? Or how do you know that it's an Arel, his own Mila? Where it says, Mistava, Arelut to Gufei, Havalei the Rubuye. Arelut to Gufei makes more sense. His problem with the Mila makes more sense. Havalei the Rubuye, Shekain. Masebi Gufo, Vanush Karet. Because it involves, number one, an action on his body to rectify it, as well as the fact that it's a punishment of Karet if he doesn't do this. Which is not true by the Mila of his child or his Avadim. Even though he's obligated to do it, when the child gets older, the chiyuv karet is associated with the child themselves and not with the parent that's supposed to do it. The parent's supposed to do it, but once the child comes of age and the parent didn't do it, it becomes the child's obligation. And the chiyuv karet is only someone who dies without doing the actual milah. So only when he becomes of age will there be a chiyuv karet if he dies without doing the milah. So the obligation's not on the adon or on the parent, but rather on the child themselves. So the chiyuv karet is on the individual themselves. as well as the fact that you have to do a maseh bigufo. Gemara says, well, milad zechara b'avadav le rubuya, which include there, because they also have a chumrah, sheken yeshna b'chol sha'a. They apply at all times. Because for the individual themselves, once they've done the milah on themselves, that's the end of the mitzvah. The mitzvah's done. On the other hand, by milat avadav v'banav, as long as he purchases a new eved or has a new child, that mitzvah can continue. You can create new opportunities for that mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that can exist for many years. It's not limited to a one-time effect. That the adon is always chayav this mitzvah as long as they're owned by him or they're his children. He needs to deal with the milah. That happens at all times. Where it says, anach nefishan, the same answer we gave before, that there are more. The two chumrot are more than the one chumrah that we mentioned here. And therefore, we have more reason to believe that arilut, his own arilut, is problematic versus milat zecharav v'avadav. Vibay teima. And now the Gemara gives an alternative answer which seems so obvious, which is, below hanach nefishan nami. Even without this quantitative measure, lo matzid amart. You can't say that you should include milat zecharav v'avadav as being a sur by truma, and arel should be mutar. Because, mi gamide darilut to gufei lo ma'akva, bay. How can it be possible there is something where his own milah doesn't stop it? But someone else's milah is going to stop him? If he's an arel, he can go ahead and eat truma. Ah, but if his son or if his eved is an arel, he can't eat it? That makes no sense. Why should the arelut of someone else affect him if his own arelut doesn't affect it? So it's obvious that arelut must be referencing the arel himself. That's the one that's asur. And the arelut of the avadim and the zecharim, that's the exclusion of the miut from the word bo. And that's how we know now that through this gzeir sheva toshav is sachir, that number one, when it comes to truma, a toshav is sachir are precluded, because an eved ivri, which is a toshav is sachir, whether he's for a temporary duration or for ad olam until the yovel, they may not participate because they are not king and kaspo of the kohen. Now even though the Gemara in Kiddushin has a machloket about this, whether there is actually a king and kaspo on an eved ivri, but Tosafot suggests over here is that Kinyan Kaspo is only for the tzad that he requires to get shichrur. But it's not enough in Kinyan Kaspo that it's going to take him away from the mitzvot in any way. So these individuals, since they're not Kinyan Kaspo the Kohen, they may not partake in Truma. In addition to that, that Toshav Zachir that's extraneous by the Korban of Pesach, from there we'll learn a Gzer Shav to teach us that V'chol Arel Yochal Bo, that an Arel may not partake in the Korban Pesach, may also not eat in Truma. But when it comes to the din of Aninut, which applies by Korban of Pesach, that will not apply to Truma because we have V'chol Zar by Truma that says it's only Zarut is a problem, not Aninut. In addition to that, by Milat Zecharav Avadav, there it says Bo teaches you that only by Korban of Pesach is the Mila of the children or the Avadim problematic for him, but by Truma it is not problematic for him. And that's then the conclusion of how Rabbi Lezer learns it out. We're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Ayin Amud Bet. Tomorrow's daf will discuss what do we do with all these extra words, bo, that we find by Korban Pesach, these miutim, like for instance, v'chol arel or yochal bo, that we just said we're not going to learn because of Toshav Zechir. What do you do with that bo, that miut? How do we learn out the miutim from that? And that will be continued in the Gemara tomorrow.